I want to turn with you this evening to the book of Corinthians, the second epistle of Corinthians in chapter 5. As we begin a season of house visitation, as is the regular tradition, the practice of the Reformed churches, the elders would visit and the pastor would visit with the families in their family settings and the individuals in their homes, we would concentrate on a certain walk, and that is the walk by faith, which is set forth here in 2 Corinthians 5 as something so very comforting in life and in death, and which leads to a godly pleasing of God as we walk by faith. So we're eager as the elders to meet with you and to share with you the wonderful blessings of a walk by faith, which we know that you have. And we want to hear just how you're working out this in your own living, the challenges and also the successes you have as you walk by faith, as your families seek together to evidence that you are not of the world, but you are of the Lord. And so we are eager, and we trust that you are well, and look forward to seeing you in your homes in the next some weeks. But 2 Corinthians 5, we read the Word of God. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are in the home, at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The text for this evening's sermon is the verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And as you have in, some of you have in your Bibles, I did want to point out that the text on which we're speaking tonight is a parenthesis. That is an idea among other ideas. That is not the main idea that's being set forth, but contributes to it, but again is only secondarily brought in. The main idea could have been set forth by Paul without the parenthesis, but he's inspired to include the parenthesis, and all the details we know of the Word of God are valuable. But there are some main things that are being taught and some not so main things that are being taught. And what is going on here is that the apostle is speaking of the confidence that we all have with regard to the future. And even though that our bodies would perish, they're only a tent, and we are reminded of the future, eternal abode we have with God. And we are confident, the apostle says, because of this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the reason for this parenthesis. It's to ground the people of God with the confidence with regard to the future life that's so important. Imagine living your life with no confidence with regard to what happens after you die, or with no confidence with regard to what happens after your loved ones die in the Lord. But we have confidence. We need not fear or be held in the grip of fear all our lives because of our fear with regard to that last enemy, death itself. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But of course, the apostle is doing more here at this time and describing or citing this fact that we walk by faith as a ground for confidence for and with regard to the future. Instead, he's reminding the people here that there's this confidence that influences all of our living until we get to death and through death indeed, but every single day of our living. That's why the metaphor of walking is used to describe the Christian life. So we walk by faith, and we can have this confidence with regard to death, but there's something that energizes our life before death, long before death. Maybe we have 80 years to live, and it will be that which is the main energy of our life, all of our life, and it is a very, very important text, therefore, with regard to the statement we would make, all of us would make, with regard to how we are living. We are living by faith, not by sight. And that, not just for confidence with regard to the world after this one, but with regard to living, facing life's trials, making life's decisions, and so on in this life. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we ought to consider walking by faith. And it's not because simply the elders are coming to visit, and we want to show that we are walking by faith for the elders' sake, but it's because God is coming to visit. The Apostle Paul even reminds the people who walk by faith that they must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, verse 10, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Well, beloved, here then is great reason, the visitation of God, the judgment day, which we need not fear as we walk by faith, is a motivation for our living now in the faith that Jesus has given. So walking by faith, first want to consider the whole faith-sight distinction. We walk by faith, and the text says, not by sight. What does that mean? Second, we want to consider the faith walk itself. Some practical points here, ways we can improve our walking. And then finally, we want to consider the faith that is also hope, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Well, faith, we walk by faith. The apostle says we're justified by faith. The apostle says we're saved by grace through faith. He says amazing things about faith. And now this amazing thing, we walk by faith or with faith. That's the means whereby we walk. If we can't have faith, we don't just limp, we just can't even move. That's the idea here. Faith is this amazing gift. As our catechism reminds us, it's that wonderful gift whereby God joins us to Jesus Christ so that we're engrafted into his life, Lord's Day 7. That's true faith, the gift of God, whereby you and I are taken from the race of Adam, in which we're born, and made to be personally into that church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. Or as John 15 reminds us with the metaphor of the vine, when we're given faith, we're joined to the vine and made to be in a living connection with him, so that abiding in him we bear fruit unto much praise of God. Faith is this gift then, and it comes from the cross. To all the great amazing gifts that are from Jesus come from his cross. And it's that virtue whereby we receive not only the life of Christ, but also all the benefits of the cross. It's this conduit, or this passageway through which flows, well, the blood of Christ applied to our account, so that we're justified by faith. In a very real way, we're justified by the atonement. That is, our sins are forgiven there and then, before we're born. But then the personal application of the blood is made by this gift in time of God, who gives faith when he gives himself in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit and faith and grace are all those gifts of God from Jesus Christ and from his present mediation at the right hand of God, so that now all that was done then and there on Calvary is applied to you, to your account, so that you are personally justified and you have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. To your person, so that now you are made to be a virtuous person, a hungry and thirsty after righteousness person who is himself and herself righteous. You're right with God in this judicial decision. God says, no more sin, you're innocent. But also, personally, you're turned to God so that you are right with him, walking in the righteousness that is ours as children of God. Paul describes the benefit of God's mercy in the gift of faith by saying in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to point out to you that a common and very favorite phrase of Paul is that we are in Christ. Do you note that in verse 17? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Well, that's what faith does. Faith joins us to be in Christ, in connection with him, in a living relationship with him. So he's our Savior, we are the saved. He is our friend, Lord, and we are the friend servants. He is our shepherd and we are the sheep. He is the one who takes us into his life and into his fold. He takes us to be members of his body. So in Christ we are there with one another. This is what faith does. Beloved, there's absolutely no reason why we are here and no explanation for why such a group as us would have come together except for faith. Faith joining us to God, and God in his sovereignty and providence, of course, causing us to come together, to wander in one day, to come with a family, whatever it is, however you got here. But this was the work of God, and so that there's not just this meeting and that sovereign leading of God, but this working, so that we're not only in the building by God's sovereign leading, but we are in the communion of the saints here. And this is one thing that's so marvelous about going from house to house as elders and pastor, and as you mingle with one another at whatever events you come together in. You notice this communion of something that's from heaven, don't you? Well, that's all because we walk by faith and not by sight. As our text says, we together have this faith by which we walk. But before we walk, of course, we think and we desire. And we are those who are filled with the knowledge of God by this faith. by this connection with Jesus Christ. You see, what faith does is joins us to the revelation of Christ, so that our catechism is right on when it says faith is a certain knowledge, a great and hearty assurance that everything in the Bible that is said of believers is mine too. That the Jesus who's the message of the Bible, he's mine too. Well, that's light shining, and light shining in your heart, and you're receiving it. You see, there's a kind of revelation of which we speak. It's general revelation, but it's not really and fully revelation for the wicked. They see these things of God and the invisible things of God, and yet they scratch their heads and they deny God at every point. They know him truly by the revelation that's given, but they remain in their ignorance because there's not faith. There's no faith to receive the things of God, to understand them not only, but to want to understand them. And so these people are in their ignorance, as we'll see presently. But lo and behold, we have this knowledge of God through faith in Jesus Christ, this assurance, not just of the well-being of faith, so that by and by, if you've had lots of experiences and so on, of the moving of the Spirit, and some text has been brought to your attention, and that's your text, and this is your day when you were converted. Oh, no! God works faith, and he works his faith in every one of his children. Oh, yes, indeed, so that there's different measures of faith, but so that there's this conviction and growing conviction out of the conviction that faith is something that is convicting itself, that bears fruit in every situation and every day of our life with faith and by faith in God. Faith is this gift which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It brings what is future right to the deck of our boat, to the foyer of our house, the situation in which we're in, and so we can see something beyond what is now and what may seem dismal. This evidence of things not seen, which faith is, gives us to be attached to things that are far more than you can see, far more than you can know by a measuring stick or a calculation. It joins us to another world and to God, our Savior. Amazing gift by which we're saved and we know it. And it's set forth here as something that's in contrast to sight. Not faith itself, but walking by faith is contrasted with walking by sight. Well, that's because faith and sight themselves are different. So if you have faith, you're going to walk a certain way. If you only have sight, your eyes, you're going to walk another way. And it won't be the way of faith. This is so very important. The Apostle Paul here is bringing out something that needs to be impressed upon the people who face lots of dismal things in this world, lots of sinful things that you could see and feel, and even things that kill. He's dealing here with that one thing that's certain, and it isn't taxes, though that's certain, is death. That's what you see. That's what you hear about. That's what you hear about in spades with all of the internet that's informing us of all of the culture of death and all of this and that and the other thing. And it's all so terribly despair-producing, this information. That's all I can say. Sight is what we're born with, most of us. Some are born with not good sight, maybe even born blind. But sight we have, and feeling we have, and ears we have, if everything is okay in the birth. But everything is not okay in such a normal birth. Why? Because we're born in Adam, and we're born given over just to seeing things. That's our problem, the human condition. Ever since Adam and Eve, they stopped listening to God, and Eve, remember, saw that the fruit was good, Genesis chapter 3, after she's debating with the devil and doubting God's word. She saw that the tree was good to eat. Well, God had told her it wasn't good to eat, but she wasn't listening to his word anymore. She was just looking and seeing and going by sight. That was the beginning of the age of the sensualists. Sensualism is the condition of human beings who are given over to their senses. That's all that they perceive as reality. What you see is what you get. So eat and drink and be merry, and tomorrow you die. Let's get ahead. Let's get on top of one another, because this life is all there is. He who dies with the most toys wins. This is the world we live in. There's a walk by this site. It's a death walk. It's a walk from death into death. It's a walk that, for all of its purported happiness and thrills and so on, is not a happy walk, because it's a walk of a sinner and someone who is not attached to God, but who is repulsed by the thoughts of God, whose mind is carnal, earthly and sensual, and is at enmity with God, who cannot receive the things of God because he doesn't want to receive the things of God. And God is giving these people over to judgments. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 reminds us that the natural man, the natural man knows nothing of God. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You see, this is the distinction Paul is making here. And he's saying to the Corinthians, now, we have confidence with regard to the prospect of death, because we're those who know the things that are eternal, know the things that are from above, and know why Jesus died, and know why Jesus wept. We believe. We are joined to another world and another God than the God of this world. He's called the living God. You're joined to him, aren't you? So we walk not by sight, having been taken into the realm of faith and the realm of the kingdom of heaven. All this world and its sensualism is vanity also to us, not just because it is, but because we think it is too. It is to us vanity. But we walk by faith. The faith that is given and joins us to God and makes us to know these things and to love the Lord Jesus and to things that praise him leads us to live in a certain way. This is my second point here. Just what does this look like? Just some thoughts on this. What does a life of faith look like? What are the elders going to be looking for in your houses? The very opposite, by the way, of the FBI. God's shepherds in your house, wanting the best, loving you. But what are we going to be looking for? We're going to be looking for something, aren't we? We're called to be those who represent the visiting God, who visits us every day, wants to know how things are going. He does know, of course. He wants us to know that he knows. Well, here's one thing. We're looking for people who take things at God's word. That is, they receive things, they take seriously the Word of God. Because He said it, I believe it. That's what we're looking for. That's what you're looking for, right? In your life. If you're walking by faith, you don't have to see a calculation and be convinced. You don't have to see the empty tomb, even, or the place where Noah's Ark landed. You believe God at His word. You don't have to believe that God is good to you only if He's good to you and you feel comfortable. But you believe God is good to you because God says, I'm good to you. And I work all things together for good to those who love me, trust me. So we trust Him. Take Him at His word. That's what we're going to be looking at. Here's what we're looking for. And you elders, when you come to our house, because we have a house full of them, I hope you're looking for this. Young persons who are vigorous and lively in the work of the Lord. Evidence of faith in the family and the covenantal graces of God, working the same vision, faith in the generations. That's what we're looking for. That's the life of faith. Young people, children, singing, obeying moms and dads, doing their schoolwork and doing the chores, not begrudging. Lee, but with alacrity, that's swiftness. Dad says, come. Mom says, come. We come. We say, yeah, what can I do for you? Yes. What's something we're looking for? People watching and careful not to be corrupted by this world. You see, the faith walk is against this sight walk, because faith knows that this world, which is called the present evil world, is indeed evil. And all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of God. We'll be looking for that. Do we appreciate this incredible difference that God has made by calling a people out of the world and leaving the world as the world, and we walk in it, and we can get dirty? Are we watchful? Are we believing the resurrection? Are we believing truly the merits of the cross of Calvary? We'll be looking for an employee, a worker, who denies himself, works for God, and not just for a boss that can see him, but truly works, happy with his work, not complaining all the time. Oh, it's not in the description, and so on, the job description, but employee who works hard and joyfully and glad for the opportunity to work with his hands or his mind. There's, in suffering, what elders are always looking for, and this is this, that we're finding our only comfort in life and in death, so that if there is a widow or something, we're looking for that widow after the spouse is gone to carry on. How? By faith. And the agony of the loss of someone with whom you've dwelt for 60 years as a married couple is almost unbearable. In the congregations where I've been and where you've been, no doubt you've seen a widow going on in the gospel comfort by faith. And this is such an example to all of us. Such an example. And to all those who have a hard lot, as we say, in life. Have to care for spouses, care for dads and moms, and who've had this tough going. We're looking for reacting by faith to these hard, hard things of life. We'll be asking, no doubt, elders will, I will, how do you be reconciled? Because the house that we're going to, the houses we're going to, are houses of sinners. To walk by faith is to know the reconciling blood of Jesus. Note what the apostle brings out in this section here. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Definitely what we all look for is peace in the home, in the way of reconciliation, peace with God not only, but peace with one another. This is what faith does. It simply does. Marriage is working this way, grace abounding this way, sinners confessing their faults one to another and being forgiven and their sins covered, and couples marrying in the Lord and knowing that this is what they will do, this is what their marriage will be like. A marriage of sinners who say, I do. A marriage of sinners who say, Jesus has done and Jesus will do all that's sufficient to make our home a happy home. Faith says all of this. Faith does all of this. And faith in a church, in a little old church, little young church like ours is, with an unpopular gospel, gives us to see that this is good. And we're glad to be here. And we're glad for the ministry of the Word of God in our midst. Well, those are some of the things. And of course, always we're looking for contentment. Are you rich and content? Are you poor and content? Are you a sick person happy in Jesus Christ? This is the fruit of faith. Are you a godly mother? And there are such godly mothers in our midst. But is this hard for you? Is it hard for you, children? And hard for you, moms? Hard for you men to eke out a living, some of you. We walk by faith. Some of the ways we can improve in our walk, and then I'll move on to the third point. We're always seeking to improve, aren't we? It's not an Olympic contest, but it's called sanctification. If we're really wanting to walk by faith, we know we can improve. Well, the first thing is cultivate believing. God gives us one way to do that, one way. Romans 10, 14 and 15, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the preaching. Believe through preaching and hearing the preaching. That's how God has said, I will speak to you, and I will work in you something that will attach you more and more to me. It's called faith. I will give, as you hear the word of God, that sort of the word that will cut away all the unbelief, all the carnality, all the things that are not of the Spirit of Christ, all the things of the old man. I will make you to be happy once again in the renewing of your soul. That's through preaching. Hear Jesus and hear of his atonement. And you can get up another day. Hear of the mercies of God that are new every morning. And you can get up and be happy for another day. Hear of the wonderful resurrection of the dead. And you can know something about renewal, something about a spring in your step and a spring in your life that maybe has never been there or not for many years. Hear the word of God, preach the word of God, preacher, preach the word of God faithfully in a lively way, seeking to show off Jesus. That's it. And hear him. And of course, it's all about hearing him and meditating upon the word of God. This is a lost art. You walk by faith. Here's what you have to do before you walk. Sit down and think. What are you doing? Why are you going this way? Before you turn on the internet, what am I doing? Before you do this or that, the other thing you've always done, think. What's the Word of God say? What's for sanctification? All right. Face providences, and there's a thousand ways we can improve, but having heard the word of God, you go out into the world, you're going to hear a lot of junk and a lot of stuff, and you're going to receive all kinds of things that seem to be contrary to God's good leading. And so you might bug at it and want to go some other way, but receive providences faithfully and believingly and humbly, as we've seen, the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, find out from God by being meek and being believing. What is it that you're giving me now? What lesson is it? What do I have to learn even by the chastising hand of God in this difficult situation? So all the details of our life, waiting on the word of God, waiting on God and believing his word, facing providences that are sometimes hard, all the decisions you make, your relationships, your work, your play, all God will tell you what to do and even what to wear and what not to wear. This all is together. I want to be encouraging togetherness in this church. Even though we're small, we can work on it. Meeting with people outside of our own families, outside of our own comfort zone maybe. Meet with them all, beloved. Have them all over, go over somewhere's house and seek to know them, know their needs. This is how we thrive, when not one is left out, when not one thinks that he or she or that family cannot participate in an active way in the congregation. All walk together. And walk, this is so very important, as you're walking by faith, walk against the world. That's what we'll be looking for. You walk in by faith, that's called the narrow way, not the broad way. What are you listening to, young people? What movies are you going to? How are you looking at things in life, in light of the Bible, or in light of the fact that this world is enemy territory? The prince of darkness, grim, would have you worship him. And that leads to this: worship God. By faith, we walk by faith, we increase in our walk by faith as we worship God. Now, just these points, beloved, with regard to our walking by faith. You know, not the half has been told to us of heaven. It's really amazing. What faith does is it leads us to walk by faith, to anticipate that there's more, but also to see it. Somehow we get to see that there's a destination we're going here. We walk and we want to please God, and then lo and behold, we're led one day to glory. And you know what happens then? Our faith leads us to glory, and God leads us and takes us home to glory, and lo, the faith turns into sight again. That's the idea of 1 John 3. When we are taken into glory, we are transformed into the perfect image of Christ, and our faith turns to sight, and we shall see God as he is. Now, that seems to conflict with everything we've said about walking by faith and not by sight now, but this sight of heaven, it's glory sight. It's not carnal sight. It's the sight of the sinless ones in heaven. It's the sight not of the eyes, except that they're eyes for God. It's the sight of the whole being, the whole of us, the transformed being, the new creation that is glorified now, that gets to fellowship with God in perfection. Walking by faith has that for its destination. That's incentive enough to me to keep on walking. Is that your incentive too? You're going to walk? Because the end is glory. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Doesn't matter if all you feel like you're doing now is limping. That's how I feel a lot. Not just because of a bad knee, but it's because of sin. Walk on, beloved. Walk on. Persevere. It's a long walk, isn't it? Often seems like we're going around in circles. walk on together. Amen. Lord God, we pray that you would give us faith to walk on and to walk up, and that faith that gives us to hope that we shall indeed be with you in Jesus' presence forever. Bless this congregation. May it be a strong, believing people. And may the children and young people know the wonderful promises and all the love of God in Jesus Christ that's shed abroad here, revealed here. Lord, may we believe. Forgive our many sins, Lord, our unbelief, and give us to have confidence in life and in death that Jesus Christ, who has begun a good work in us, will perfect it until the end. For his sake we pray, amen.